Here we are, January 19th, 20th, 19th.
19th.
Hmm?
19th.
Yep. January 19th, 2020. We did not have service last week because of an ice storm. Didn't think much about it until we got here Wednesday night, and there was a ridge, a wave in the back of the parking lot where the ice had been coming down and the wind had blown it against the house and or against the church and blown back. And we had a 15-inch ridge running through the middle of the parking lot out back. So praise God we did not have service last Sunday. It might have been a little exciting. But I wanted to talk last Sunday and held it over to this Sunday about God's love languages. The Bible tells us God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We understand that God is love. And when we think about God communicating his love, it doesn't always line up. It doesn't always make sense to us. It doesn't always fit into nice little categories. If you're familiar with Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages, the five love languages that he teaches about are words of encouragement, acts of service, quality time, physical touch, and gift giving. And when we recognize that we are made in the image of God, and as we communicate one with another and display our love in that way, maybe there's some hints in there about God's love toward us and also how we can show back love to God. Now, I'm not going to talk about them exactly in the orders that I just mentioned them, because that was the picture that I got, and it was in a different order than what I had, and I didn't have Deborah Rake to thank that much. But I do want to talk about those love languages as they apply to God to us and to us to God. Because all these things are very important. If we're made in the image of God, we are made in the likeness, we are made with some of God's attributes. I am not all-seeing, I am not all-knowing, I am not all-powerful. I don't have those attributes. But there are things about me that reflect who God is. There are things about how we interact with other people that should reflect who God is. So, granted, I am, in each and every one of us, are sinful fallen beings that need Jesus each and every day. But there are things about us that can reveal who the Lord is to the people around us. Because everybody, remember the old song, everybody ought to know who Jesus is? Anybody remember that growing up in school? Everybody ought to know, everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Growing up in Sunday school, this is one of those things that we had to think. Everybody should know who Jesus is. And so many times we are the only example people see of the Lord. And I don't know about you, but that illustrates to me my own shortcomings. If I am the best example of Jesus people ever see, they're really getting such a horrible, corrupted image. But we are made in the likeness of God. And we are made to show God's love to this generation. And He is working in us. He is touching us. He is changing us. But I want to talk somewhat about the love languages and how they apply. So if we take a look at quality time, let's go to Psalm 63, 1 to 2. The psalmist says, "You are my God." Oh, it says, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory." The psalmist says, early in the morning will I seek you. I desire to be with you. That's a quality time. Now, God created us to be His companions. He created us to have a relationship. He created us to know Him. And so, and there in the garden, we had that little incident that's affected all of us. Started with the devil saying, "Did God really say?" And then came sin, and then came blaming others. "It's not my fault. It's this one's fault. It's that one's fault. Adam, why did you do this?" "Well, that woman you gave me." "To the woman, why did you do it?" "Well, the serpent deceived me." Passing things off, not taking responsibility. So getting to know the Lord, getting to draw close to the Lord, it's, we can't blame somebody else for us not getting to know the Lord. We can't blame somebody else for us not seeking His face. The psalmist says, "Oh God, you are my God, early will I seek you." Desire in our heart to get to know the Lord, to spend time with Him. To have Him spend time with us. To get all the distractions and things out of the way so that we can spend quality time with the Lord. One of those love languages, quality time. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 26. Starting with verse 7, says, "The way of the just is uprightness, O most upright." In other words, the way of the just is to do the right thing, just like God does the right thing. "You weigh the path of the just. Yes, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our soul is your name and for the remembrance of you. With my soul, I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me, I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." The prophet is saying, "I want to seek you at night. I want to seek you in the morning. I want to be with you all the time. That I might walk in your ways. That I might know who you are and be an example of who you are. The way of the just is uprightness, O most upright." The way to walk is to be like the Lord. That's what the prophet is saying. That call on each and every one of us, that quality time. You can't be like somebody that you don't know anything at all about how they are. You can't be a good illustration to the world around us of the love of Jesus if you don't know the love of Jesus. You can't be a good illustration of the world about patience and long-suffering if you never learn to be patient. Who here likes learning to be patient? Oh, look at all the hands. None of them. Praise God. None of us like that. But it's an attribute of God. It is something He has called us to do. If we are going to illustrate to the world that God loves them, we need to get ourselves out of the way and recognize that God loves us. God is working in us with all our shortcomings. And when we come in a realistic understanding of our own shortcomings, it's a whole lot easier to be gentle and kind to somebody else in their shortcomings. When we recognize that if it were not for the love of Jesus, I would be burning in hell right now because I should have died quite a few times when I was running from the Lord. But His hand, His long-suffering, His patience, His desire to spend time with me, even when I didn't desire to spend time with Him, He was reaching out to me. And that changed who I am. Made me a different person. Psalm 63, or back to Psalm 63, we'll go to verse 3 now. It says, "Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul will be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me." Psalmist says that I seek you in the morning. I seek you at night. I seek you all the time, and you've changed my life. You've poured out your love upon me, and I recognize it. That quality time. If God is everywhere, and He is, and knows everything, and He does, He's always ready to spend quality time with us. The question is, are we ready to spend quality time with Him? See, God is there available for that quality time, part of the love languages, to spend time together. But you can be in the middle of a crowded room and be completely alone. You know that, right? Just because there are other people around doesn't mean that there's a relationship. God is there available for the relationship. He is waiting for us to draw close to Him. We have to do that. It's part of the relationship, the love languages, the communication, the communion, the coming together is participating in it. Another thing is giving or receiving gifts. In Job 33:4, Job says, it's one of his friends. I don't remember which one. It's a young one. It's the one that waited a while to speak. That much I remember. What his name is, I can't tell you at the moment. It says, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Do you realize that the mere fact that we are standing here means God has been giving you things, gives you breath, gives you the ability to breathe, gives you the ability to think. It says in Deuteronomy, He's the one who gives you the ability to make wealth, that God is the one who is at work in us. You realize if God was done with us, okay, game over. Listen to one of Dave Ramsey's teaching one day, and he says, you know, people say, well, God needs my money. God doesn't need your money. If God needed your money, He could just take it and leave you as the grease spot, you know? God wants us to partner with Him, to come together with Him, and to work with Him. He wants that relationship, that coming together and sharing the intimate parts of who we are. He knows all about us anyway. You talked about your friend, and now that we're recording, I'm certainly not giving any names. But you talked about your friend desiring a closer walk with the Lord. All it takes is us saying, Lord, I need more of You. Because He's right there with open arms. He's already given us everything pertaining to life and godliness, as it says in James. He has given us everything we need. All we need to do is draw close. All we need to do is receive. All we need to do is accept. All we need to do is submit. Because we can't go to God on our terms and expect to come away the winner. We go to God on His terms and let Him give us life and let Him give us strength. Let Him direct us. Because He knows the end from the beginning, all that stuff. You know, we don't even know the questions. Have you ever walked up on a conversation? As the people are in a conversation, they're going back and forth, and you just walk up and you like get an entirely the wrong idea of what was going on. And then are you foolish enough to jump in? You say, what in the world are you? Well, you said, yeah, but if you'd listened to the entire conversation, God knows everything that's going on. We just see the little bit. And if we jump in making assumptions based on the little bit that we see, chances are we're wrong. But if we submit to the Lord and let Him teach us and let Him guide us and let Him work in us, we develop that relationship with Him. We show the love to God and receive the love from God. Ecclesiastes 3, beginning with verse 9, says, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is a gift from God. You realize that the things that we put our hands to do, whether it's a job, whether it's a business, whether it's chores around the house, whether it's the satisfaction that comes from having completed something, that is a gift from God. We never think about that. God gave Adam work before the fall. The ability to go and do things is a gift of God. We don't think about that. You know? Hi ho, it's off to work I go. Praise God, it's Friday. Oh God, it's Monday. You know? Working at things we don't like because we don't understand that the ability to do things is a gift from God. And we worship God in utilizing the gifts that He's given us. The craft, being able to do a craft. The Crafters and Talkers Day is a great opportunity to do the work that God has called us to do and enabled us to do. Working with our hands, doing things, whatever it happens to be. Spending time together is all part of enjoying the gift of God in our lives. James 1, beginning with verse 16, says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. For every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of the first fruits of His creatures." We walk in this life as a gift of God to the people around us. Did you ever stop to think? I mean, realistically? Because I know when we were kids, we, at least some of us, thought we were God's gift. But do you recognize that you are God's gift to the people you encounter? That you are a gift of God to show His love to the people you meet. You are a gift of God to show His grace, to show His mercy. Sometimes to show His long-suffering. Sometimes to show His patience. Sometimes to show His forbearance. But you are a gift of God to the people you encounter. If God is working in us, if God is working through us, and I believe He is, then every encounter we have is God knew about it before it happened. And God has a plan and a purpose in it. Even when it's difficult, even when it's unpleasant, God is still at work. It's all part of that tapestry. Remember we talked about that? That God causes all things to work together for good to them who love Him, to them who are called according to His purpose. That even though sometimes it's very, very difficult to be in the middle of, God is still doing something. And sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes we go years without understanding. But I hold on to the promise that one day I will know, even as also I am known. I know that my God loves me and my God doesn't waste anything. He doesn't waste my tears. He doesn't waste my sorrow. He doesn't waste my pain. But He doesn't waste my joy. He doesn't waste His love in me. And He doesn't waste His love in you either. We don't always understand what's going on, but we do know that as God is working in us and God is love and God is showing His grace and mercy to us, that it's going to have an impact in people's lives. It's all part of showing God's love, showing who it is. The love languages of God are not always things we understand, but God is still at work. Words of encouragement or words of affirmation. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning with verse 12. I'll get to that in a second. We give praise to God because of who God is. We recognize the grace and love and mercy of God. We recognize that God is the one who created the heavens and the earth and the seas and all that is in them. We recognize that the heavens and the heavens of heavens cannot contain God. And we can give Him all praise every day and never have the words to describe how wondrous and how wonderful God is. But part of showing, giving praise to God and being in partnership and in relationship with God is also to encourage other people. Because not only am I made in the image of God, but you are each made in the image of God. And the person that just drove by is made in the image of God. And people need to be encouraged. People need to know that God loves them, and they knows that they find that out through us. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning with verse 12, says, "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very, very highly in the love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." Sometimes that's the hard part, right? Being at peace among yourselves. "Now we exhort you, brethren, to warn those that are unruly and comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak." Words of encouragement, words of affirmation are not always the most pleasant things. But it's what's necessary. Who likes to be told they're unruly? Exactly. Warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. In them, as we deal with people, as we encourage them, it's not always going to be something that they want to hear. It's not always going to be something that tickles the ear. That's why Paul warned Timothy about people having itching ears, that they will turn their ears from the truth and be turned into fables. Keeps going. "See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone." You catch the implied thing in there. You're going to get evil sent to you from time to time. Don't give it back. "See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue good, both for yourselves and for all." I don't just want my benefit. I want your benefit. I want somebody else's benefit. I want everyone's benefit. That's showing the love and grace and mercy of God. That is giving words of affirmation, words of encouragement. "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." Paul, here to the Thessalonians, is giving encouragement on how to walk. But the same thing is for each and every one of us. How do we walk? How do we interact with other people? How do we apply what God has done in our heart to the people we encounter? Are we kind to all? Do we pray for everyone? Do we lift up and encourage people? Do we say, "Hey, you know, that's really not right. You shouldn't do that." Do we admonish? And do we help? And do we lift up? And do we encourage? Do we strengthen? Do we come alongside those that are hurting? Are we showing God's love in everything? So often the answer is no. But this is what God is working in us, and this is what God is calling us to do. In Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, beginning with verse 13, Paul tells Timothy, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Study. Encourage other people. Take a look at the scripture. "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on those things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." Paul telling Timothy, the way you walk out what God is doing in your life is going to have an impact in the people that see you. Do we understand that? As we walk out the love of God in our life, it's going to have an impact on people around us. And they need it. Whether it's a brother and sister that needs encouragement, whether it's a brother and sister that's high and lifted up in their own mind, whether it's somebody that doesn't know the Lord, as we walk through this life, being obedient to the Lord, sharing communion with the Lord, displaying the love of God in our lives, it's going to have an impact, whether we see that impact or not, whether we recognize what's going on or not, that God is at work. Acts of service. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." You only have the time that's here to do what God has put on your heart to do. However long that is. However long we have. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your heart. It says in James, I believe, that to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is a sin. That's kind of scary. But whatever we find to do, whatever opportunity we have. Another place it says, as much as you have opportunity, do good to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. That we should be looking for opportunities to be a blessing to people. Looking for an opportunity to help somebody. I was getting my boots on, getting ready to go shovel out the driveway this morning, and my neighbor came over and plowed my driveway. Praise God. That was an awful lot for a shovel. I got a snowblower out back. I haven't been able to get running, so that was an awful lot for a shovel. Guy came over just to be good, just to be kind. What are we doing to be kind? What are we doing to show the grace and love and mercy of God? What are we doing to be a blessing to other people? And if you're not doing anything, ask the Lord, what can you do? Ask the Lord to open doors. Ask Him to give you insight, wisdom. If you're doing things, praise God. Are we encouraging people? Are we lifting them up? Or are we like me, falling short? You know? There's always more that we can do. But Acts 10, beginning with verse 34, at Cornelius' house. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. The word which God has sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word you know, which has been proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Two things in that passage right there. Up in verse 15, it says, "But in every nation, whoever fears God and works righteousness is accepted by Him." What is it that we're doing? How are we righteous in our acts? How are we righteous in the way we go about our lives? Are we lifting up and encouraging people? Are we giving words of exhortation? Are we giving words of encouragement? Are we giving words of admonition, but with the same heart? That we are encouraging people, that we want their best. It's real easy to tell somebody they're doing something wrong. It's a whole lot harder to come in a spirit of humility with a desire to see the best in them and communicate the same message, but through a heart of love, through a heart of grace, through a heart of entreaty, of desiring only the best for them. It's real easy to say, "You messed up here and you messed up there and you messed up someplace else." But do we consider ourselves lest we also be tempted? How we deal even when people are doing something wrong, how we approach it should reveal our relationship with the Lord. Part of that love language, how do we communicate? Whoever works righteousness is accepted by Him. And also, Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And He went about doing good. As the Holy Spirit abides in us, do we go about doing good? Do we go about lifting people up, encouraging people, finding ways to help? Is it our desire to show people the love of God by our lives? By our actions, these acts of service. And finally, physical touch. Now we know that God is a spirit, and they that come to Him must come to Him in spirit and in truth. But maybe you know some of the old songs. "He touched me. Oh, He touched me." How about, "Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by." So, we sing about touching God and being touched by God. And different people have a testimony. My own testimony of when I stopped running from God and I turned around and it felt like God just wrapped his arms round about me on a golf course. There wasn't anybody around. But if God's right here all around us, we can't reach out and touch God the way he can reach out and touch us. But what we can do is reach out and touch people with the love of God. We can reach out and make a difference in other people's life with the love of God. Matthew 25, beginning with verse 34, says, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.' He will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' For they also will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' And he will answer them, saying, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous to everlasting life." I don't say these things. I don't bring these things up. I don't feel the Lord is impressing this message to highlight our shortcomings as condemnation. But I think each and every one of us, as we go about our relationship with the Lord, that it has to have some of the aspects of the love languages of God, how we interact with other people. Part of showing our love for the Lord is showing our love for people that need help. Is showing love for people that need encouragement. Showing love for people that need direction. Whether it's words of encouragement, acts of service, quality time, physical touch, or giving of gifts. The languages that Gary Chapman has identified in his book in relationships is also how we deal with people around us. Is also things that God has put in us. And we brought out scripture that talk about the different aspects of spending quality time, of giving of gifts, of words of encouragement, of acts of service, of physical touch. We've talked about these things. How it applies in scripture, how it applies to our lives. For the physical touch, we can't reach out and touch the Lord. But we can reach out and help other people with the love of God, the things that God has given us, things He's poured into us. Regardless to what that looks like in your life, know that everything that we do is what we're doing for the Lord. Everything we're doing, I think it's in Romans, where it talks about having been given a ministry of reconciliation. We encourage you, we speak to you to be reconciled unto God. The things that we do should be leading people to a knowledge of the Lord. And if it doesn't seem to be effective, Lord, help me, guide me, work in me. Lord, that you be glorified in my life, because God has brought us this far for a purpose. He puts people in our path for a purpose. We encounter people for a reason. God causes all things to work together for good to them who love Him, to them who are called according to His purpose. Not just 3 out of 5. All things. So God is at work in us Praise His holy name. Father, we do thank You that You love us, Father, that You guide us, that You reach out, that You're at work in us. We thank You, Father, for Your grace and for Your mercy. We thank You, Father, for Your word, that You draw us closer, not only to You, but also, Lord, that You draw us closer to encourage the body, to encourage our brothers and sisters, and to be lights in the communities that You placed us. You have us there for a purpose. You have us there for a reason. Help us, Lord, to show Your love to everyone we encounter, that You be glorified, that others may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven, that You get the glory in all that we do. Father, we give You praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.